saying, in such and such a place shall be my camp. And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not such a place, for there the Syrians are come down. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there not once nor twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing, and he called his servants and said unto them, will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? And one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet that is in Israel telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. And he said, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he's in Dothan. Therefore sent he there the horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, master, how shall we do? And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they which be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the young man's eyes, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. It's most wonderful. Now look back with me here, and let's see if we can bring out some things here that will be a blessing to us. You know, Elisha prayed that the Lord would open this young man's eyes that he may see. The king of Syria made war against Israel. Got his council together and said, now listen, I want to camp over here. This is where I'm going to camp. And he set up this camp here, and he's going to ambush the king of Israel. Going to ambush him. But Elisha said to the king, said, don't go by that place. You go some other way, because the king of Syria is over there and he's got an ambush laid for you. Well, it said he went, found out that he told the truth, so he went another way. And he saved him not once nor twice, but more than that, saved him. And the king of Syria was convinced that he had a traitor. In one place it said, what, you know, I forget where it's at over here in Kings, but one of the prophets was telling something and said, is there a bird taking what's being said and carrying it somewhere? But here he says, oh, tell me who it is. That's the traitor for the king of Israel. And they said, there's nobody in our camp for the king of Israel. But there's a prophet, Elisha over there, and he knows what's going on. He knows what you say in your bedroom. He goes tell the king of Israel about it. He knows what you think. And I tell you what, if Elisha knows what's going on and what this man's saying, imagine what the Lord knows about us. And I love the fact that Christ knows us. I love that fact. That Christ knows me better than I know myself. And he knows you better than you know yourself. And that's why we get up every day and give ourselves away to the Lord Jesus again and say, Lord, we need you today. Huh? We need you today. And oh my. And so he tells the king of Israel everything that's going on. And that king said, well, where is this prophet at? Where does he live? He said, oh, he lives over in a little old town called Dothan. Well, I'll tell you what. He's going after one man now, but he got him a bunch of horses, a bunch of chariots, and a big army, and he went around that whole little old town to get one man. That's the way it was with our Lord. They sent over 500 men after a man that never did anything, not one sin in his life. Perfect, sinless, and holy. Sent 500 men to take the Lamb of God. That opened not his mouth, but was led out. Well, they come around, they're going to say, well, I'm going to get this fellow. I'm going to shut his mouth once and for all. Well, the servant of Elisha got up and went out real, real early, and he looked up and he looked around. There's an army here. Where'd this army come from? They're surrounded. Horses snorting, men sitting there on the ready. And he run back and said, "Oh, master, master, what are we going to do?" He said, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. They that are with us are more than they are them." That's what he told them. And I tell you, don't be afraid. They that are with us are more than they are that are with them. And King Hezekiah said exactly the same thing. You don't have to look at it, but I'll read it to you. King Assyria, he come and done the same thing to Hezekiah. And Hezekiah told his people this. He said, "Be strong and courageous. Be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitudes that's with him, for there be more with us than with him. For with him is an arm of flesh, that's all he's got. But with us is the Lord our God to help us fight our battles." And listen to this, "And the people rested themselves upon them words." Yeah, I tell you what, and that's the thing. God, if Paul said, "For whom he did foreknow, them he also did predestinate. Them he did predestinate, them he also called. Them he called, he also justified. Them he justified, he also glorified." Well, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Huh? If God be for us, who can be against us? That's what they're saying right here. And men who truly know the Scriptures and know the power of God, there's no reason fearing what man can do. No. You know, these Sadducees, they got together and they don't believe in a resurrection. They said a man married a woman, he died, and his brother married him, he died, and he buried his brother, and went on seven husbands. Who's she going to be in the resurrection? You know what the Savior said to them? "Ye do err, not knowing the Scriptures, nor the power of God." And I tell you, when you know what God says, that's all that matters, is knowing what God says. We know the Scriptures. And there's no reason, when you understand God and what He is and how He does things. And I tell you what, now I don't underestimate, and I know you don't underestimate, the power of Satan. I don't underestimate his power. He's had 6,000 years of dealing with people like us. And I don't underestimate the power of sin. Sin's a powerful force. It's called having dominion. It's called reigning. Sin reigns. And I don't underestimate the power of the world and the influence of the world. But God's greater than all of them put together, times 10,000 times 10,000 thousands. Huh? And I tell you what, and He'll save us and He'll deliver us no matter what. I pray for America. I'm very, very troubled over America right now. I'm very burdened about it. I haven't felt this way in years, but I'm very troubled about it. But I do know this, that God raises up whom He will raise up and set down who He'll set down. But I also know this, that Daniel said He has an everlasting dominion. That means that His dominion reaches over this universe. Not just America, not just the world, but over the universe. And His will is going to be done, and we as God's people, we're going to say, "Blessed be the Lord. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away." But I tell you what, our God's greater than all of them, and He will deliver us. He will deliver us. And I tell you what, there's some things that men don't understand and don't get. I tell you what, there's a curse of the law. Sin and Satan's very, very powerful. Hell and judgment's waiting on men and women. But when you understand the power and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, how He came and saved us, delivered us from the curse of that law, delivered us from the power of Satan, saved us from our sin, conquered death for us, bore our judgment, and bore our hell, The only people that can see that's people's got eyes of faith. Huh? Open thou my eyes, Lord, that they may see. Huh? Oh my. Elisha prayed when that man, young man, went out there and saw all those, that great army. He just as calm as he could be, and he said, Lord, open his eyes that he may see, that he may see. And let me tell you, let me give you a few things. The natural eye, man's natural eye, man's natural ear does not see and does not hear. And the natural heart does not understand the things of God. He can't do it. He can't do it. And I know that for a fact for myself. For myself. You know, the scriptures tells us that eye hath not seen nor ear heard what God hath prepared for them that love him. But yea, he hath revealed them unto us, yea, even the deep things of God. And we take the hidden wisdom of God. Who's it hidden from? Hid from the world. Hid from the natural man. And that's why it goes on to say, for the natural man, he won't receive the things of the Spirit of God. Neither can he know them. And he says this, our righteousness are as filthy rags. And so listen, only men can read the Word of God. Men can get up and read a Bible. Read the same words we read. And they have a veil over their eyes. They have a veil over their minds. And a sinner will be sitting there, and they'll be, then the message will be passed, and they're blindfolded. What are they blindfolded with? Sin. And you can testify of redeeming grace. You can testify of the love of Christ. You can testify about God's great love for sinners. But they don't see it. They don't hear it. That happens here every Sunday morning. That happens with my family. Oh, they can't see, they can't hear, no matter what you say. God's everywhere. The heavens declare His glory. The firmament shows His handiwork. And you can't look at creation, and creation itself leaves men without excuse. It leaves men without excuse. The creation leaves men without excuse. But you know, these astronomers, they study the stars and tell how many million. They sent a thing out in space the other day, 200 million miles from Earth, and set it down on a rock. Men smart. But when it comes to the things of God, they can look at the stars, but they don't see God. They look at the stars, they see how smart they are to figure it out, how far away they are, how big they are, and how they die. And they think they're really something. They'll talk to you in all this language, and you don't understand nothing they say. We talk to them in our language, they don't understand nothing we say. Ain't that right?
Yes.
And oh my. And then God's blessed law, God's great law, His holy law, it touches the thoughts of a man's heart. It touches the intents of a man's heart. Our Lord said, and you go through the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount, He said, you've heard it said, but I say unto you, He went to the heart, He went to the thoughts, He went to the intent of what people, you know, you can intend to do something and never do it, but God counts the intent as if you already had done it. Now that's right. He said, you know, He said, don't even be angry with a man without cause. And so that's but they don't see that. They don't see it. They just see words. They see laws. And I was preaching one night along this line about laws, and I asked, anybody here ever kept God's Ten Commandments? And God's my witness, and I just about fell out. A woman in the back raised her hand and said, I have. And I said, nobody has. And she put her hand down. She ain't been back since. But what kind of fool would raise their hand and said, I've kept, when you look at just words on black and white, You can't even look in black and white and say, listen, I've done that. But you know why they say they can't see? They're blind. They're blind. They're like this young man. He's blind. And oh my, men are guilty, fallen. And Scott said, far from God, so far from God that they can't come back, and God's got to go where they are and bring them back. Oh my. And they're full of wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. But they can't see them. They don't smell them. But I see the wounds. I see the sores. I see it all. I see the wounds, the bruises, the putrefying sores in men and women when they come. But they don't see it. You can tell them about it. They don't see it. They don't see it. And I tell you, I looked up some verses today about hell. And I've said this, hell ain't half full. And the scriptures tells in Proverbs, it says hell and destruction are never full. And then Isaiah said, I think it's in Isaiah 42, he said hell comes from below, moves up to meet you. And I tell you what, death, judgment, and hell come up to meet men at their coming. But they don't see it. They're right on the precipice of hell and dancing. And dancing. Like this ain't nothing. And here's the one, this is the one thing they really, really don't see. The natural man don't. The blessed Lord Jesus Christ left heaven itself, left glory, and came down to this world full of sin, full of degradation, full of hatred, full of malice, full of everything that's against God. He came down here and came into this world and lived a sinless, perfect, holy life to do one thing: to honor God and obey Him and satisfy Him and save sinners from their sin. And one person will sit there and weep over that, and tears will come to their eyes over what Christ did for them. And another person sits there and pops their blow gum and said, I wish this service would hurry up and get over. Those are things to pray about. Oh my. And natural blindness. Oh man, in his natural state, keeps a man content in filth. In filth. Keeps a man content in his false refuge. And keeps a man content to be spiritually poor all of his life. But he thinks he's got the world by the tail on a downhill drag. And that, I want you to look with me over here in John chapter 9. I want you to see something here. You know, natural blindness, and this is what's so strange about man. Natural blindness makes a man proud. Makes him proud. Because they don't see their ignorance. They don't see Christ's glory. Don't see Christ's glory. Y'all know the story here in John 9 where the Lord Jesus opened this man who was born blind, opened his eyes. And he believed on Christ and worshipped Him. And then in verse 39, look what our Lord said here. Now talking about blindness. And the Lord said, for judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. He said, now I'm the one that makes a judgment about that. It's the same thing as saying, I will have mercy on whom I'll have mercy, and I'll have compassion on whom I will. What he's saying is, people that don't see, he said, I'm going to give them sight so they can see. And then, you know, the people that are blind, he said, I'm going to give them sight that they can see. And then those people that say, I can see, I'm going to close their eyes where they can't see. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, are we blind also? that they which see might be made blind. And Jesus said unto him, if you were blind, if you were like this man here, could not see, if you were like him and say, I'm blind, and you got to do some miracle for me, you got to perform a miracle, I'm blind. If you said you were blind, he said, you wouldn't even have any sin. But now you say, well, listen, we're not blind, we see. And you're going to stay a sinner and go live one, dies one. And Christ is the one who makes those decisions. And I tell you, this is we know this as well as we know our name. Only God can open a sinner's eyes. And that's a miracle. It's a miracle. There's a fella comes over here and tunes up our piano every year. Him and his wife both are blind. Somebody has to drive him up here. Well, I stupid and knowing, I sent him a text. He called me and I said, well, I sent you a text. And he said, Donnie, I can't read text. Now that's how stupid I am. But I thought, I assumed if somebody's living with them, you know, they could see. But he says, and me and my wife, either one's blind. Both of us are blind. And you know what it'd take for him to be able to see? A miracle. The light's in here, he can't see him because he's blind. But the light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ is just as dark to the natural man as light is to the blind man. And it takes a miracle, just the same miracle for opening a natural man's blind eyes. It takes the miracle for God to give us spiritual eyes and give us a spiritual ear and then give us a heart to believe it. That's something only God Himself can do. And we're shut up to that. We're shut up to that, huh? You know, the hearing eye, the seeing eye, and the hearing ear are of the Lord. Cody preached on that here one time. The seeing eye and the hearing ear both are of the Lord. We can put truth before men, but only God can make them see. Huh? And you know what? Y'all remember in the garden, Satan told him, said, listen, if you'll eat that fruit that God told you not to, he said, you know what's going to happen to you? Your eyes is going to be opened. And you're going to see. You're going to be like God. You know what happened when their eyes was opened? They said, oh my, I'm naked. And fear gripped their heart. And shame covered them. And they tried to cover their nakedness with a fig leaf. So, you know, that's... man saw shame, not glory. And I tell you, let me hurry on here. I hope I'm not taking too long. But the Lord does. Bless His holy name. He opens men's eyes. And by His blessed grace, He gives men spiritual sight and understanding. Look here in verse 17, what it said. And Elijah prayed and said, Lord, I pray Thee, open his eyes that he may see. He can see that other army. Open his eyes that he may see. And listen to this now. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man. And what happened? He saw. He saw. When the Lord opened your eyes, you see. You know, people say, well, I don't see it your way. I don't see it that way. And they're telling you the truth. They can't see it. Huh? They can't see it. Somebody just Sunday or something's telling us about... they showed somebody predestination. He said, predestination ain't in the Bible. Well, he took him and showed him a couple places where predestination was in the Bible. He said, well, I see it, but I don't think it means what you think it means. Didn't even notice. He said, oh, it ain't in there. Why ain't it in there? Because he ain't got eyes to see. He ain't got eyes to see. And the Lord opened his eyes and the young man saw. And I'll tell you something about the eyes of faith. When God gives us eyes, the eyes of faith, we see what others don't see. Noah, he saw a flood coming. Nobody else saw it. Noah said, oh, there's a flood coming. Nobody saw it. He prepared an ark, but nobody saw it. He prepared a place for God. God prepared him a place for him to be saved, but nobody saw it. Only Noah saw that flood. Noah's the only one that saw a flood coming. Other people did. The disciples saw the deity, the Godhead of the Lord Jesus Christ. Two to men say that I, the Son of Man, am. Simon Peter said, well, thou art the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. And he said, oh, Simon, you're blessed. Flesh and blood didn't do that for you. My Father which is in heaven, he gave you that. He let you see that. You're the only way you know I'm the Son of God is my Father made you know I'm the Son of God. Huh? And I tell you, Isaiah, he complained. He said, oh, who hath believed our report? To whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? And then Philip drew near to an Ethiopian eunuch, reading in the same place in Isaiah 53. And when Philip preached to him, you know what happened? The Lord opened his eyes. He said, here's water. What's to keep me from being baptized? And I'll tell you something else about the eyes of faith. When God gives you eyes of faith, he gives you a calm spirit of assurance. Huh? The servant in this thing that I read, he was afraid. He cried, oh, Master, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? We can't escape. We're surrounded. But Elisha just calmly said to him, oh, he said there in verse 16, fear not. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. For they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Oh my God. If God be for you. And I tell you, oh, Elisha wasn't afraid. He saw the army of the Lord. And he was confident. And you know what? When the young man's eyes was open, look what he saw. There in verse 17. He saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots. A fire. All they had was old flesh horses and a fire round about Elisha. So I tell you, these people, they wasn't going to hurt. Elisha knew, there ain't a hair of my head falling today. Oh my. And Job was confident of God's care in the most trying thing that could ever happen to a man in this world. He lost everything. Everything. But the scripture said he shaved his head and he bowed before the Lord and he said, naked came I from my mother's womb, naked shall I return. The Lord hath given and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And Job sinned not against God. That's what our faith will do. Henry Mahan, you said all time, said, don't drive your tent stakes down very deep. Don't drive them down. Just keep them real, real loose. Keep them loose. Keep your hands loose. If God gets ready to take something, he said, don't drive them down too tight. He said, he'll jerk them up. And oh my. And even when God's care in the deepest trials that we go through, He's never, ever let us go. And then the eyes of faith. Oh, you going? Some of you folks getting old like me. The eyes of faith, let me tell you something. Do not grow dim with the passing of years. Has your faith grown dimmer as you've got older? No. You know what? It sees just a little better. Sees a little clearer. Sees God in a greater light. You've done went through a few things. The young man saw the army, but he didn't see Christ. The young man saw danger, but he didn't see deliverance. That old prophet, just as calm as he could be, had seen God's glory and God's grace, and he had seen it often. And he is like Abraham and said he knew the Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. And I tell you, with age and maturity, we get a little better sight and a little better understanding. Mm. You go through a few things and you learn to take. Well, the Lord will take care of it. The Lord will take care of it. And we really believe that, don't we? That's reality to us. That's reality to us. And let me close with this. The eye of faith desires to see more. Oh, Lord, let us see more. More about Jesus would I know. More of His saving grace see. More of His saving fullness see. More of His love who died for me. Oh, to see more of Christ. More wonders in His Word. Oh, David said, Lord, let me behold wondrous things out of Your law. More about the Lord Jesus Christ, like Paul said, oh, I want to know Christ, I want to win Christ, I want to be found in Christ. In all my learning, one thing I want to do, I want to learn Christ. More of Him, more of Him. And more of His righteousness that's revealed in the gospel. We didn't know nothing about righteousness until God came and revealed it to us. And gave it to us. And revealed it to us. You can't preach to me enough about the righteousness of Christ being mine. I'll tell you, you just preach it every service, it'll suit me. And oh my, more of His redemptive glory. The fact that He's the one that has the mercy and has the compassion. And He'll give it to whom He will. And He said, I'll cause the name of the Lord to go before you and the goodness of God to go before you. The fact that He is good enough to show mercy. Good enough to show compassion. Good enough to be gracious. That ought to be enough for anybody. Huh? And oh my. And the last thing, the eye of faith, says this. I'll be satisfied when I awake in His likeness. Oh, I long to see the King in His beauty. Huh? And you know, and what Christ has for sinners has always been there. And so all the people that we know, you know, when unconverted people come here, and we have them every Sunday, you know, we have people that come, and I'm thankful. I'd rather them be here hearing the Gospels being somewhere else. But pray, Lord, open their eyes. Open their eyes. And if He opens their eyes, they'll say, I see. I see. I probably told you this story. I'm going to tell it and then I'm going to quit. Years and years ago, when Tim James had his conference over in Cherokee, this is how simple people, this is how bad people can be. He asked Doris, he said, Doris, honey, would you go get me a cup of coffee? Had a big coffee pot there, went and got him a cup of coffee and brought it. Well, there's a woman standing there and she's a member of this church, Tim's church. That upset her so bad Why did he go get his own coffee? Why does he have to be waited on? And she got mad. And she left the service. Well, about halfway through that service, maybe Henry was preaching, Don was preaching, Jim, I don't know who was preaching that night, but about halfway through that service, she came back in. She stood right in the aisle, right in the middle of the aisle. And she told what she did and how angry she was. And she came back and she said, you know, since I left, the Lord's opened my eyes and now I see things I ain't never seen. And she just broke down and squalled back to there. That's what I'm talking about. The law deals with the thoughts and intents of the heart. Her animosity and her hatred for women, in her mind, being subjection to a man. But God saved that woman that night over that simple thing. Over a man getting his wife getting a man a cup of coffee. Huh? Now, what if he'd have got her one? She wouldn't have been converted. She said, well, he ought to do that. But, oh, well.